You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the opening day of the Punchestown Festival. A superb few days of action coming up over the Irish Sea, and we'll be previewing the big races on today's edition of the podcast. You can hear it all live, of course, on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday with Gareth Topham, Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott bringing you all of the action on day one of the Punchestown Festival alongside Hexham, Ludlow and Yarmouth in the afternoon, with Wolverhampton and Brighton supporting the action of Punchestown on Tuesday evening. My name is Sam Norris, and joining me on the podcast today, I'm delighted to welcome Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
Very good shape indeed, Sam, and much looking forward to Punchestown.
Yes, absolutely. The last big festival of the jump season, and there's been much talk in the paper and in the media, John, of jumps horse of the season. Who would you have in mind?
There's only one for me. That would have to be one for Arthur.
Yes, I mean, of course.
What he's done for Scottish jumps racing is more than any horse has done. Even Rubstick, who I backed in 1979 to win the Grand National for Maurice Barnes at 33-1. A tremendous win, though. There are lots of other brilliant horses. I mean, to see the loss of Many Clouds when he was at his peak is, you know, one of the issues. But as far as I'm concerned, one for Arthur has to be the star.
And of course, the flat season is well and truly back. We've seen plenty of potential classic clues over the weekend, John. And we'll start with the Monday jury, as we always do on Tuesday's podcast. And plenty of the questions on the jury this week, as you might expect, surrounding the weekend's action. And looking ahead to the classics, of course, we're only a couple of weeks away from the Guineas. And we start with, what did you make of the Greenham winner? And did we see a classic winner there? Barney Roy, the winner for Godolphin, who've enjoyed a tremendous start to the flat season. Barney Roy, John, does he look a classic winner in waiting?
Yes, I think he's got a big chance. He doesn't necessarily say he's going to win the Derby at this stage. You know, it's a bit premature, but I was very impressed, as indeed were lots of other considerably more erudite pundits than me. The vital thing about Barney Roy was that he'd apparently been very much a horse on his toes, likely to break away at the start, and Richard Hannon and his team had done a tremendous job settling the horse. And the result was that he was basically in midfield with the race already sort of two-thirds run. And then he did quicken up. He quickened up and lengthened really well. And the impressive thing about the win, to me, apart from that quickening up, was the fact that he had in second place the other Godolphin horse, Dreamcastle, who I think was very strongly fancied and wasn't disgraced, and the two of them well clear. I would have thought Barney Roy's got a big chance in a race like the Derby.
Yeah, Barney Roy then, he's 5-1 for the 2000 Guineas, and not in our Derby market at present, although there's a lot of water to go under the bridge for the Derby.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's 5-1 for the Guineas, just a little bit on the short side, but you never know, he quickened up really well.
Okay, next question up then. Is the Queen's Maiden winner Call to Mind a potential Derby horse? It was good to see Her Majesty have a winner over the course of the weekend. John, what did you make of Call to Mind?
Well, it was a good win, wasn't it? But one senses a little bit of a set-up in that if the Queen's birthday, the Queen was going to be there. You know, she's a tremendous ambassador to the sport, and absolutely great to see her. And an awful thing to say that, you know, when we get to the 90s, I haven't quite got that far yet, but when we do get to the 90s, you know, time is at a very much at a premium. And It's great to see her present. It would be wonderful to think that a call to mind would be good enough to win the Derby. I don't really think that is the case. Useful colt, perked up really well by William Haggas for the win on Saturday. Very amusing at Kieran Fallon, who I thought was good on ITV earlier in the week, saying, don't forget the Queen's going to have a winner at the weekend. That really caused a scratching of heads. But it did win well. Will win decent prizes, not necessarily good enough to win a classic is my view.
Fair enough. The next question then, what did you think of Shutter Speed's victory at Newbury on Friday? John Gosden seems to have a tremendous clutch of fillies, John, and this is one of three or four impressive winners for John Gosden that we could mention. Shutter Speed for you, John.
Yes, won very nicely indeed. I think heading for the something like the Musidora and a big long striding filly, and so would seem to have a very decent chance of winning serious fillies, races, possibly classics. One thing I would say about this is that John Gosden appears to have his team absolutely spot on at this very moment, which is still quite early in in a way. And we're not entirely sure that he's got the best ones running at the moment.
Yep.
And B, can he keep them at the peak for the big races in the middle? I thought, yes, it was an impressive win, but I think one has to just be a little bit cautious.
Okay, next up then, how do you rate Craven winner Eminence Prospect in the Guineas? I was very impressed with his victory, John. He was 12-1 with us here at William Hill on the back of the race. The 12s has been gobbled up, the 10s, the 8s has been gobbled up, now 6-1 for the 2,000 Guineas. A son of Frankel, and unlike a lot of Frankel's progeny, he doesn't look quite as wired as some of the rest of them do.
No, big strong horse. Mm. Well, now you had to be careful here, Sam, because you probably know I'm biased in favour of anything trained by Martin Mead.
I am aware,
He is one of my really favourite trainers of all Newmarket time, as you might say. I think he's done amazingly well with the horses he has there. He completely modernised a really historic stable too. Mm. So I like both him and the horses he trains. I was very keen on Eminent. I thought he would win the Craven. It's not a great race for stats-wise for 2,000 guineas, but I thought he'd win it. He won it really well, and he simply couldn't be stopped. Jim Crowley was trying to pull him up at the end, and he's probably going more powerfully over the last two furlongs than he had been at any stage of the race. And, you know, I thought Jim Crowley was pretty impressed. As for Martin Mead, he was obviously delighted. They clearly had thought that Eminent was certainly worthy of being a major contender for the Guineas, and were absolutely over the moon, as you might say, by the manner of his win. I'm an Eminent man, definitely, and I think he's good value in the 2,000 Guineas.
Yeah, 6-1 for 2,000 Guineas. Churchill, the 11-8 favourite. Al Wacare, 4-1. Barney Roy, who we mentioned, 5, 6-1 Eminent. Caravaggio, 9-1. Double-figure prices for the rest of them. Penultimate question on the jury this week then, John. How high in your 1,000 Guineas pecking order is the Nell Gwynn winner, Daban? Well, it's currently a joint second favourite in the betting at 8-1 behind Rhododendron. Another filly of John Gosden's. Have you got similar reservations about this one?
I liked her attitude very much. She really buckled down to it in the last sort of couple of furlongs, stuck out the old neck in the emphatic manner in which, you know, one likes to see. And it wouldn't surprise me to see her run a really big race. I do think Rhododendron, though, is a worthy favourite for this contest. I was very impressed with her last season. And, you know, I think Aidan O'Brien has got the filly, well, obviously, has the filly, you know, really in excellent shape for the 1,000 Guineas. So I think the Gosden filly's got a big chance. I like her attitude, but Rhododendron would still be my first choice.
Yeah, 11-4 for Rhododendron in the betting for the 1,000 Guineas. And finally then, John, which other horses have caught the eye over the first few weeks of the turf season? Anything lurking in the notebook?
Well, as you know, I'm a bit of a handicap man or thereabouts rather than a classic student. And so Sovereign Debt was the first one that just really caught my guy.
Yeah.
You know, did tremendously well for David Nicholls, who is now retired, handed over to Ruth Carr, and my goodness, she's done well with the horse.
She seems to find that improvement from horses coming from other yards. Does a tremendous job with them.
Yeah, tremendous job. And, you know, unlucky first time and finished third, if I recall. But my goodness, won at Lingfield in the style of a really good horse. And I'd love to see Sovereign Debt go on to win further big races for Ruth Carr. The other point of the first sort of 3 or 4 weeks, I think, is David O'Mara. His horse is really very much better now, second season at Wart Hill.
Yeah.
And I thought Custom Cut ran a very promising first race this season, and I shall be looking to see where David sends Custom Cut next time.
Okay, Custom Cuts and Sovereign Debt then, two to follow for John from the opening few weeks of the turf season. Still got plenty of jumps action to come though, and we'll turn our attention towards the Punchestown Festival now. Day one comes up on Tuesday. They're off at 3:40, and we'll be taking the graded races on this edition of the podcast, starting with the 4:20, which is the Grade 1 Champion Novices Hurdle. Just over 2 miles is the trip for the seven runners who are down to contest it, and the supreme form is represented here, John, and in particular by LeBake, who has proved to be a bit of a nuisance in the past, but if he starts, if he jumps away, he's a big danger to all.
He certainly is a big danger to all. No question about that, Sam. If the Punchestown Festival, of course, is going to be, fascinating for the excellent form of the horses taking part, but also for the final sort of last-ditch saloon between Gordon Elliott and Willie Mullins, who's going to be champion Irish trainer. And I say it right at the very beginning, I think that Willie Mullins is going to push Gordon Elliott all the way, and that he could have some really big winners at the Punchestown Festival. What about this? Well, if LeBake starts and gets underway, he's going to be very hard to beat. He won the Supreme extremely well, with authority, as you might say. Mm. And Jack Kennedy, who was only 18 last Sunday, makes one feel very old indeed. He has said quite clearly in the Racing Post that this is the most exciting and fastest horse he's ever ridden. So, if everything goes well, LeBake is going to be very hard to beat. I was a melon man in the Supreme Novices. I thought Mellon would go very well, did run quite well, but was well beaten by LeBake, and Jack Kennedy is a pocket Hercules for me, so I think he'll get LeBake away, and LeBake will be my choice.
Okay, LeBake then getting the nod for John in the Champion Novices Hurdle off at 4:20. We go to handicap action now at 4:55, a Grade B handicap hurdle upcoming here. Same trip, just over 2 miles for this one, a slightly bigger field going to post. We've got 11 of them to sort out here, so three places for each way bets, and you might just need them, John. This looks tricky.
Yeah, it is tricky, but I picked out three horses who I think ought to be involved in the shake-up. The first of them is Tudor City, who I think is improving for Tony Martin. I like the way he won a maiden hurdle. It was only a maiden hurdle, but it was a pretty competitive big field too at Fairy House last time. Had been placed three times in hurdles before that, and was quite useful on the flat. I wouldn't discount Tudor City at all in this contest. A Dream Still Alive is another one who's got to be seriously considered. Won a handicap hurdle at Limerick, and so, you know, I'm a great Henry de Bromhead supporter. I think he's been a little bit unfairly dealt with the horses disappearing over the past 6 months or so, but he remains a top trainer. So Dream Still Alive obviously comes into this, but this could be a Gordon Elliott strike, I think, because Vaynard, representing the Elliott stable, I thought ran a very good second at Fairy House behind Thomas Hobson last time out. The winner's a good horse, and Gordon Elliott could have run a whole series of horses in this race for Giggingstown. This is the choice. Vaynard will be my selection too.
Vaynard then for another one on the board for Gordon Elliott in that 4:55. The chases are in action then at 5:30. It is the Grade 1 Champion Chase, ran over at 2 miles, and we've got a field of eight lining up at time of recording, and plenty of English raiders have come over to try and take this one away from the Irish, John.
Yeah, Tom George won it last year, of course, with God's Own, and God's Own is back again. We'll have to improve a bit on the Aintree run. I've always thought God's Own liked Aintree probably better than most courses, if not any, and he was, frankly, disappointing to finish fifth at Aintree. He was well beat behind Fox Norton, and you know, it'd be hard to consider, despite his liking both for Aintree and for Punchestown, that Tom George's horse is going to reverse the placings with Fox Norton. Robbie Power, of course, now the retained jockey to the Potts family, and he will be on Fox Norton. The Irish have got a strong hand here, and they could well beat both the Raiders, Fox Norton and God's Own, this time. Ballycase is a lovely horse. I think, you know, I'd like to have Ballycase in my stable, if not in my ownership, in that he's a rather gutsy animal. I thought he would be beaten by Baldark last time out, but he wasn't going to be. He just stuck out his head. I don't necessarily think he'll do it again. Lurking at the bottom simply because of alphabetical order is my idea of the winner. I am a great follower of Un de Sceaux, and I think William Mullins can take this valuable prize. I thought Un de Sceaux would win the Ryanair. There were a number of people who said, no, he won't stay the trip. Yep. There will be others who will be preferred. But in fact, he stayed the trip really well. His jumping appears to have improved tremendously. Definitely. Revelation, really. I see no reason why Un de Sceaux should not win for William Mullins and Ruby Walsh.
Un de Sceaux not for opposing then in that 5:34. John, we go to the final race on today's podcast then, which is the 6:40, the champion novice chase, ran over a trip of 3 miles here. It is a grade one, and we've got 7 runners down to contest it, 4 of them in the ownership of Giggenstown House Stud. Are you looking to that quartet, John, or are you looking elsewhere?
I am looking in vaguely in that direction, if I might say it, definitely. I think this is the most tricky of the real championship races at Punchestown on the first day. A Genie in the Bottle could go quite well, but quite frankly, it was disappointing in the 4-miler in a way, only finished fifth, and I think he's got to improve a bit on that. Then we have Artois Phil. Artois Phil is a very consistent horse. He's done his work really hard, but he has worked, Sam, in my view. He's overworked, I think, and he was beaten at Cork quite convincingly last time out, and I think he's got to improve quite a bit on that. Sandra Hughes, though, could have the answer here with Acapello Bourgeois. Now, was strongly written up by connections to win the RSA. Not good enough to beat Might Bite, though. Indeed. And finished a 6, I think, in the RSA, but had previously been very impressive at Navan and won a couple of races there. Sandra Hughes, you know, really does think this horse is one of the best she has trained. So Acapella Bourgeois has got to be really seriously considered. Then we've got Disco, who was beaten last time out, but has been pretty consistent, could go quite well. And finally, Amobale Fly, who, quite frankly, was disappointing last time out. So it's a tricky race, but I'm going to go for Sandra Hughes to come good with Acapella Bourgeois.
Acapella Bourgeois, then, the choice in that novice's chase for John. Just give us a quick recap, please, if you wouldn't mind, then, your lordship, of your 4 selections for the races on the opening day of the Punchestown Festival.
Well, we go for the 4:20, which is La Bake, provided he starts. In the 4:55, I like Viennard. Un de Sceaux would be my nap quality in the 5:30. And finally, Acapella Bourgeois for Sandra Hughes in the 6:40.
Superb stuff. There we are, the thoughts of John Budden ahead of the opening day of racing at the Punchestown Festival. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. in the company of Gareth Topham, Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott. Thank you very much for that, John, and best of luck with the racing coming up this week.
No, thank you very much, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.